it's a real slippery slope. You know, number one, at church, it's really not the place. It's actually a distraction. Now people are focused on you guys right. instead of what we're doing. The way we handle and walk alongside people in their struggle is a big deal mm-hmm. and it's formative. So we need to be merciful, gentle, careful. They're learning. They're learning. They're teenagers. They're learning how to be a Christian teenager with feelings and hormones and crushes and boyfriend. I mean, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. This is the first time for a lot of them that they're going through this. So we can't expect them to have it down. Today, we're talking all about tips to help you navigate the challenges of PDA in your youth group.
Welcome to the Ministry Coach Podcast, where we bring you weekly tips and tactics to help you fast track the growth and health of your youth ministry. My name is Jeff Lascola, and this is
Kristen Lascola. And today we are talking about an awkward topic that you may or may not have run into called PDA. Now, PDA, if you are unfamiliar with it, stands for
Public Display of Affection.
Very good. You must have grown up in the Christian church. I don't know if anyone else.
I don't think it's just a Christian thing.
It's not?
No.
Because I was going to say, I don't really know if anyone else uses that term, but that's what it means. So, you know how, like, when two parents kiss, their kids are like, ew.
Right.
That's how I feel when I see two kids having any sort of PDA. It gives me the creeps, and
right.
it's very uncomfortable. Super awkward for me and probably for everybody else.
And so, by the looks of it, for them too.
I know. Like,
we're touching pinkies and we're just frozen.
Don't move. Don't breathe. So how do we deal with this as youth pastors? Because if you work with junior hires, maybe you deal with it a little bit. If you work with high schoolers, maybe you deal with it a whole lot more. College age students, I don't even know. They're adults. I don't know what they're doing these days. So what do we do when we're confronted with this, and how can we deal with it in a healthy way? And that's what we're talking about today. So the things I'm going to talk about today are part policy and part wisdom. Policy only goes so far. Here's what I mean by that. You can have a policy, and it usually sounds something like this at church. Like at camp, mostly it'll be like no girls and boy cabins, no boys and girls cabins. That's a very standard camp rule, and it's a very good one. That's a policy. Where wisdom comes in is there might be some things that didn't necessarily make your list. You don't have a specific written rule against them, but you just don't feel right about it. You know, maybe a couple students are just a little too close and it's just sort of putting out a weird vibe and they're getting really whispery and their arms and they're looking around. Like, you know, if you are sensing, and a lot of youth pastors ask this question, I think because they have been in that situation of like, this doesn't technically fit one of my rules, but I don't like it. And that's enough.
Right.
Like that should be enough to intervene. If you just don't like what's happening, if you don't like the vibe that it's putting out, we don't have to allow, like, this is not a place where it's like, well, we have to allow a little bit,
right.
a little bit of PDA, you know, we don't. So if
church PDA,
just church PDA. So here's some questions to ask yourself as you're navigating your own challenges with PDA, because it really could look different. I mean, I'm not going to describe every single nuance of what it could be,
right.
but what you can do is filter through these questions and know when you might need to take some action. So number one, does this make me feel uncomfortable?
Me as the youth pastor?
Yeah. If you're looking at it and like we were saying before, something just doesn't sit right with you. Okay, listen to that. You're the adult, you're the leader, you're the pastor. If something makes you uncomfortable, chances are it's making other people feel uncomfortable too. Number two question to ask yourself, is this a distraction from why we're here? So is it one of those things that other people are now looking and it's become a unintended focal point and everyone's kind of giggling about it. And it's this thing now. Black and white, number three, is it inappropriate? Mm-hmm. If it's inappropriate, okay, time to say something. And then another question that I ask myself sometimes is this a normal part of growing up? And normal is very subjective. But what I mean by that is like, yeah, it's normal to want to do a whole lot of things, right? We can't let that be our determinant factor. But there is a level of like, I'm not going to avoid people having crushes on each other.
Right.
Like that's normal. It's normal for kids to have crushes on each other. It's normal for some of them to even start dating, to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know, like not every, like some pastors are uncomfortable even with kids liking each other.
Right.
And they're like, hey, you know, that's a big distraction of why we're here and we need to not.
Don't like anybody.
I've heard that happen. Like I've been on a trip with pastors like that. And so I just think, hey, we aren't going to just say, hey, anything goes because it's a normal part of growing up. But what I am saying is you have to understand this is a part of someone's development. Is I start to notice girls and girls start to notice boys, and you know, it's part of that. So we can't just be so offended and like, no, we don't talk about that.
Right.
Like, okay, no, there can be space to talk about boys. There can be a space to talk about girls. There can be a space to have a crush and all of that. And it's our job to kind of navigate them through that. Like it's okay. It's part of growing up. They don't have to be embarrassed or feel ashamed that they even have those feelings. Mm-hmm. But when it starts to get like, okay, we've got to intervene here is when two kids are dating or interested in each other and it is becoming too much. Mm. So here's where I would love for every youth pastor to start is setting kids up to succeed in this area. Now, if you work with junior hires, maybe I'm naive. I, in 20 years of junior high ministry, have dealt with PDA maybe three times. Like it was our little imitation in the beginning. They're like very like robotic and they're holding each other's hand. Nobody will move a muscle because they're like so nervous.
Looks painful.
Yeah. They're like just, they are so nervous that you almost want to be like, hey, you're all right. Just relax.
You're off the hook. You guys don't have to do this. I don't know who put you up to it. You can separate.
Some kids are kind of more comfortable with it. And I think in high school, it's a little more comfortable. Here's what I mean by setting them up for success. What I've noticed is kids never want to be engaged in PDA when they're surrounded by adults. Mm. So they want to sneak off somewhere. They want to be alone. They want to like find the little corner and, you know, whatever. So let's make that really difficult for them. Mm. Have an adult, maybe not one of your small group leaders, because your small group leader should be participating, but I have a security guard or two or three pacing the hallways during youth group the entire time. They're always moving and they're always, some are in the parking lot, some are in the halls. And I keep every door locked where a student should not be. Mm. Because that did happen to me one time. A boy and a girl snuck off. It was like at an overnight event. And they snuck off into a bathroom. And it was like, gosh, like that was a hard one to avoid. Cause I mean, we're sleeping and boys and girls were in separate areas. But
and it was
a
shared bathroom. It was not a one gender or the other. It was just a whatever.
Yes. We only had one bathroom at our old campus and they had planned earlier in the night.
That sounds weird to say a shared bathroom. It was a bathroom with one
like a
toilet.
Yeah. Like a one person bathroom. Right. And they had made plans earlier in the night to meet up later that night, you know? And it's like, that's a hard thing to super. It's like, nope, we're going to be on bathroom duty till, you know, 8 a.m. Like, that's not reasonable. Sometimes if kids are going to find a way, they're going to find a way. But we want to make it as difficult for them as possible. So I leave, and this is different now because it's a different bathroom. We have a guy's bathroom, a girl's bathroom, but I do leave those doors propped open. Mm. So during youth group, not at church on the weekends, because it's all kinds of people using them, but there's privacy, you know, but it's just like at the mall or at Disneyland or whatever.
There's multiple stalls, but you can't see in.
There's no doors on those, you know, even at Target, some Targets, there's no doors on them. So I think that just kind of takes the this could be and for all kinds of bad behavior, you know,
like, you're mentioning the security guards. This obviously is way more than just PDA.
Oh yeah, we don't have like the PDA police. This is just one extra.
But if you need that, that's something to consider.
And it's great though, because the bathroom doors remain open, security walking the halls, all extra doors are locked. So there's only really one place you can be, and that's in the auditorium with 25 adults and 150 kids. And it's really, there is no privacy.
Yeah.
So number one, set them up for success. Make sure your ratios of adults to kids is really good. Make sure there's no places they can sneak off to. And the point is, we're trying to make it really difficult for secrecy to happen. Again, I've had it happen under my watch. If they're determined, sometimes they can find a way, but we're not going to make it easy for them. I would say, like, in all honesty, the most I've ever tolerated in my presence is handholding. So again, policy and then wisdom. So if the handholding turns into like, there's just something about you guys that's getting weird. I will come up to them and I'll just sort of put my hand on their shoulder and be like, hey guys, do you mind if we leave a little more room here between you guys? And they'll be like, oh yeah, sure. Okay.
just acknowledging it sometimes will stop.
Like
it.
I've never had a kid fight me on that to say, no, you can't. Like they are already like, I'm nervous. I'm uncomfortable.
You probably saved them in that moment, really.
Yes. So like I've had kids try to lay next to each other, like during a movie night or something. Oh no, I am all over that. Like sit up, move. You're too close.
Right.
No sharing a blanket. You know, that's another thing that they might try to do at camp or a trip or, you know, during a movie or worship, like, oh, well, we're all out here and it's cold. Nope. No blanket sharing, no laying down. I've never had a kid like kiss in front of me. You know, I know they have snuck off before and done it at camp or something like that. But again, that is so few and far between, because when you think of the hundreds of kids we've had come through our ministry, probably thousands at this point, we've made it so difficult for them. It really doesn't happen very often. If they like take their one little opportunity, you're like, okay,
right.
You know, but the most I've tolerated is handholding, no lap sitting. So a lot of youth pastors are like, okay, I would probably be the same way. It makes me uncomfortable. So then what do I do?
Right.
So you could start where I started of, you know, looking at them and saying, hey guys,
gross.
Number one, ew. Number two, ick. Number three, barf. no, but just kind of not trying to overly embarrass them, because I think they're already embarrassed. They're being approached, but just to put a hand on their shoulder and say, hey, you know, I think I would be more comfortable and everyone else would be more comfortable if we left a little more room here. If that's too many words, a simple, hey guys, let's leave a little bit more room here. Okay. Okay.
Just a quick spray with a cold hose. Break it up, you two.
And then if you feel like it's a recurring, like, oh my gosh, every week, this couple, you know, if it's getting excessive and becoming like a theme, you might want to just pull them aside and say like, hey, could I talk to you guys? Like, hey, I know you like each other. That's okay. Like, we're allowed to like people. You don't have to feel ashamed. Perfectly normal to have feelings for someone, have a crush on someone. However, we got to be really careful of how much physical affection we're showing. It's a real slippery slope. You know, number one, at church, it's really not the place. It's actually a distraction. Now people are focused on you guys instead of what we're doing. You know, you could point to other couples maybe that help out in your ministry and say like, hey, like Bob and Lisa, they're married. They're a great couple. They like each other.
They haven't kissed in years. Sleeping in separate beds. Come on, you guys. There's two people you can look up to. I think they're really mad at each other tonight.
But you could point to a couple and say like, hey, like it's doing one thing well. To be affectionate and you can sit next to each yeah. other and give each other attention. But, you know, are Bob and Lisa making anyone uncomfortable? No, like they don't need to be all over each other all the time to prove.
Right. It's a confidence anything. In your relationship.
Yeah.
If you feel the need to be pawing each other constantly, it's like you must not be that like comfortable with that person. And
you could say that in a gentle way of like, you know, like. They love each other, but we're not distracted by it. It's like, oh, there's Bob and Lisa again, you know? So if you guys could help me out and, you know, sit next to each other, enjoy youth group together. Like I don't mind that you guys are a couple, but I need you to, you don't have anything to prove right now.
Yeah.
And then if you have suspicion that something might be going on behind closed doors, tread very carefully of how you're going to have that conversation. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about PDA. That means public, mm-hmm. you know, displays of affection at your youth group. So that would be like talking about their purity. You might want to navigate that differently. Yeah. You know, find some people to bring into that conversation with you, you know, maybe. If you're a guy youth pastor, you know, maybe you want to bring in a girl and vice versa for blah, blah, blah. But all that to say, it's perfectly okay to have that conversation. If you felt like the initial, like, hey guys, could you leave a little more space? If that simple, hi, I see you, bring attention to it, didn't work, feel free to have a conversation. And if that, I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where that still wouldn't work. And they're like, no, we insist. Like that would be above my pay grade because I've never had to deal with that. But hopefully this helps a little bit for you to get a handle and maybe gain a little confidence, because I will admit it's an awkward thing to address.
Yeah,
it's awkward to approach the couple, even for me. And I've been doing youth ministry a long time. I don't like calling kids out on it, but I don't like it in my youth group. Mm-hmm. It's just an ick that's awkward. But I don't want other kids to go home and tell their mom or dad, like, yeah, youth group was cool, but this couple was like all cuddly in the corner. Like, I don't know. Like I'm more willing to address what would make someone uncomfortable than the couple being uncomfortable, you know, but just be gentle with them, because the way you reprimand them on this will probably stick with them for their entire life of how the church dealt with their indiscretion. You know, like, again, we don't just say, oh, well, do whatever you want. But the way we handle and walk alongside people in their struggle is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's formative. So we need to be merciful, gentle, careful with the words we choose and the way we speak and the kindness we show and the patience we show and the understanding. You know, we don't want to come across overly like, I disapprove of you. Yeah. You know, they're learning, they're teenagers. They're learning how to be a Christian teenager with feelings and hormones and crushes and boyfriend. I mean, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. This is the first time for a lot of them that they're going through this. So we can't expect them to have it down. They need us to walk alongside them and say, hey, I see you. It's okay to like someone. Let me help you do this well. Mm-hmm. So that is the PDA talk. I hope it was helpful.
So in like, let's look at this kind of in a larger scheme. Like if you have a sixth grade through 12th grade, because I know a lot of youth pastors have that. Do you think this is, are you ever preemptive? Like we have a set of rules and at what point do you even announce those rules? And it's like, is that a camp thing? Is that a, like a new class comes in? So we do the, you know, here are all the rules.
Or really
how
like,
official yeah, do you ever want to make
I
it?
I thought about that when I was prepping this content.
Or is it like,
and I think that's a good question.
Comes up. Do you do so it? Do you have your students sign the handbook of I will not blah, 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 you know?
I feel like that's so like private school vibes, you know? I do it at camp, like say like, hey, there's a girls' sleeping area. Cause I think camp adds a layer of complexity. There's sleeping, there's changing, there's, you know, it's just like very appropriate at camp to set some boundaries of like, hey, this is the girls' sleeping area. No boy should be here. This is the boys' sleeping area. No girl should be there. Like, do not mix those areas. And if I see it, like, you're going to have a consequence. Like, that is going to be a hard line for me. At a regular youth group, I just feel like acknowledging it and making it a thing makes it more of a thing. Like, all right, when you step through these doors, you will no longer like hold a hand, kiss. I mean, what do you say? You're allowed to hold a hand, but you can't kiss. That's right. Why I like.
And the more specific you are, the more loopholes they try
to figure out.
Exactly.
And the weirder it gets. Like, imagine a new sixth grader.
We're holding ears. Like, it's just an ear.
Like, is that what people do here? That's weird. So I just like to address it as it comes. And I can have an entire class go through and I never have to talk about it once. So it's not as big of a problem for me that it needs to be like, all right, welcome to junior high. This is the rules, guys.
Posted on the wall by the cafe.
No making out during worship. Do I make myself clear?
Does that mean we can make out during small group time? Or I don't know why they were such a young child saying that. I was like 3 years old. What kind of youth group is this?
Oh, but you're right. Junior hires love to find the exception.
Right. If you did lay out rules, rule number 1, 2, and 3, they would, you didn't mention this. So does that
you
mean
can
it's
hold
okay?
Hands like this,
right.
Not interlocked. Right. That's be too very intimate.
And it would just be a constantly adding to rule book of like, okay, you can't interlock fingers. Okay, you can't blow backhand to backhand. No, you can't do that.
But that's what I mean. It was like, wisdom is part of this. Yeah. Like, you just need to be watching. And when something happens, you know.
Right.
And you, usually someone else will know too. Because anytime we've had couple get a little too close, you better believe my leaders are tapping me on the shoulder. What do we do about them? and I always say, I see it. I'm watching.
Right.
I'm ready to make a move. I'm just waiting for the when.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're all on edge here. And, you know, I'm like, there it is. And then I move in. I'm like, hey guys, split up. Hey, no laying down. Hey, you know, because I see it. And that again goes back to the number one, make it very difficult for them. You should have so many adults in that room that it's going to be a real buzzkill.
Yeah. Well, for those of you that have dealt with this, is there anything that you've done specifically? If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and put it in the comment section below. It might help out some other youth pastors just to add
Please
to conversation.
Please do.
All right. We're going to do a question of the day right now. And this, it's kind of awkward, actually, considering the topic we just talked about, but it could be awkward, I guess. What is the last Google search you had?
So I want to know if this conversation was happening. So I Googled how to talk to youth about PDA. So PDA apparently stands for like pathological, like it's some disorder. I forget what it all stands for, but it's, pathological. Oh man, what is it? Basically, they don't
Look
like direct
up.
Orders. Like if you tell them, do this, don't do that, they like malfunction.
It's like all kids.
So, but now it's labeled. So I don't know. So I was like, so then I did PDA in youth group because I thought maybe if I put in like the youth group thing, my version of PDA will come up.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's just this thing. It's like a disorder I'd never heard of. So
I've never heard of it. I will say though, I heard the term PDA long before I became a Christian when I was 18. I heard the term PDA well before I became a Christian. So it's widely accepted as public display of affection. Are you looking it up again right now?
Yeah, but now it's, I just said PDA meaning, and now it says public displays of affection. But before, that's it. The Child Mind Institute. It's called pathological demand avoidance. They avoid demands. So
I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
My last Google search was a couple hours ago because our dog attacked a alligator lizard, which are like larger than regular lizards. And then she started kind of like gagging and like barfing up a little bit. And I was like, can dogs get poisoned by alligator lizards? totally fine, but that was the last Google search I have. So if you're brave enough, what was the last Google search that you had on
what
your phone
you
or laptop?
What do you have to hide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You PDA pastors. I don't know what that means. Hey, actually, I do know what that means.
They avoid demand.
That's right. So we're going to do a community comment of the day real quick. This comes from our favorite, Carl Schmidtke, who says, I love how you are going deeper and deeper in your content. It is so good for us to evaluate what we do. You do a great job of addressing difficult stuff while keeping it fun.
Thanks, Carl. That's a great compliment.
We love Carl. He's a part of our YMGA program. He's an awesome person. You guys should all know. That's all I have to say.
He's my best friend. That's it. That's it.
Hey, thank you guys so much for watching and listening. And
we'll
see
you
next time.
Are you dealing with a lot of PDA or public displays of affection in your youth group? Then stick around, because today we're talking all about how to navigate it. That's so many words. Yeah, now, Brian.
I should preface that by saying...
Wait, Eric?
Right.
Not as awkward as Bob and Julie sleeping in separate beds.